Hi, I'm Kara Sharon, and welcome to the Digital Business Breakthrough Podcast, where we dive in and explore how you can learn how to break all the rules of business and success and try things that most people aren't willing to do so that you can have unbelievable breakthroughs in your business and life. Are you ready? Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Digital Business Breakthrough Podcast, our special Fail Forward to Success edition. I am super excited today because we have Tamara Zentel with us today. And let me just give you a little bit of background about her, because as an official corporate dropout, which I love that, she helped her nine-year-old daughter, Zandra A. Cunningham, turn her kitchen table hobby into a multi-million dollar brand. She has advanced knowledge in launching an international brand, generating revenue, partnership development, and preparing young moguls and family business for success. She is also the founder of Raising a Mogul LLC and Ram Brand Management. She is committed to supporting parents as they transition to parent managers and learn how to position their children better to explore their vast dreams, establish reputable businesses, and build their family legacy. I am so excited to have you here today. How are you?
I am amazing. Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here.
Oh man, I know I just did this really wonderful intro for you, but I love that you help Raising Moguls. It is, how old are your kids now?
Now all my kids are technically adults, like it's argumentative. So I have five children. Yes. Yeah. 27, 26, 23, 20, and 19.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Five kids.
Yeah. I survived.
Okay. I would love to know. I mean, I do have some questions, but I just would love to know how, a little bit more about your story of how you kind of fell into this. Like I know we said you are a corporate dropout, but what, how did you fall into this, and which kid, and they were, you what, 9 years old? How did that happen? Tell us a little bit about that.
So, I worked for almost 20 years in practice management consulting and also restaurant management. And I ended up there because I needed a job. Like I was happy, you know, after my baby was born, Josiah, he was 3 months old, and I actually ended up getting custody of three additional children, my cousins. So we had eight kids in the house. It was insane. I'm like fresh out of college doing, you know, like trying to like take it on the world. It was crazy. Newly married. And I was like, you know, I'm going to get a job. So I ended up getting a job at a chiropractic office. A year later, I was the manager, and then it just grew from there. So I discovered early that I had this knack for, or this passion for building business, for starting with something really small and watching it grow into something huge. And so I just kind of learned as I went. You know, I did go to school for business management and all those different things, but it had nothing to do with really like being in the thick of it and like watching something grow from scratch. So while this is happening, I'm growing in my career. Things are going great with my you know, what my business is, and being in corporate, I started doing some consulting with restaurants and other things. My daughter, Zandra, at nine, I started watching and paying attention. I mean, I was paying attention to all the kids, but what she was doing, aside from like, she was doing like golf lessons and running track, and a lot of all my kids are athletes as well. And she decided that she wanted makeup. And she was like, I need lip gloss every day. This was like her new hobby. And her father would bring it home from work for her and stop by the store. And finally, one day he's like, you know what? You need to learn how to make your own. So she took it upon herself to do that, melting crayons and Vaseline in the microwave. And then that's when I started. I'm like, this girl has been doing it. Like, she's really into this makeup thing. I ordered a kit for her, thinking mommy daughter weekend. And a year later, it was a business. 5 years later, it was $1 million business. And then here we are 10 years later, and our entire family works for Zandra. So it's a
plant. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. I love it.
Everybody works for Zandra now, even I do. So I retired in 2016 to work for my then 16-year-old daughter, running her, the operations of the company. We have a full-blown manufacturing facility, fulfillment center. It's a whole family situation.
Oh, yeah. That is amazing. I absolutely love that. That is such an, I have two teenagers, 15 and 16, and we do some business projects. And I know how fun it is. So yeah. That is, now let's talk about why we're here today though, with all of your wonderful, wonderful and vast experience. I want to talk about, I always like to say your big fat fail. What is, and I'm sure, you know, most people have a lot, but like, what is one big fat failure that you want to talk about today?
Oh my goodness. Listen, there are many, which is why I'm so proud to be where I am right now. But the one thing I when I was thinking about this, I think is really important is my big fat failure would have been not trusting myself. When I separated from corporate, you know, and decided I was going to do something different after helping Xandra grow the brand. And I decided I was going to launch Raising a Mogul, but for whatever reason, I was scared. I had all of this fear that I couldn't do it. I was transitioning from buildings like brick and mortar or something that you, that's very tangible to the online space. And it intimidated me. You know, I'm like, online marketing, ew, what is this? What do you mean? I have to live on Facebook and I have to do Zooms and what do we go live? What? So I didn't trust myself. So I say it was a failure because what I did was I brought on partners. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had a genius idea. Like it kept me up at night. I knew I had an amazing idea. I knew people wanted what I had. I knew that people needed what I had, the movement that I was going to create, but I didn't trust myself enough to do it without help. Mm. And that was a disaster. It was a complete disaster for so many reasons. So yeah, that was a.
So in the midst of the storm or the tsunami, I like to say, because I always feel like whenever we talk about like a big failure, there's like, you know, we're in the eye of the storm. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you were, if you can remember, what you were feeling and thinking in the thick of all of this chaos around this failure. And for you would be huge, which I think so many people battle with, which is confidence.
Yeah.
Right. So tell me, what were you thinking in the midst of this? And then I'll pair off of that. How did you get your thinking to correct it?
Okay. It's almost, when I think about it, because Raising a Mogul is a company we're talking about, and it's literally my baby. So it was almost equivalent to like me allowing someone to babysit my baby that I knew was not qualified. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, I'm on my way to the grocery store. Should I have left the baby with her? Should I have done that? Did I have everything ready? Did I leave enough diapers? It was horrifying once I realized, oh my goodness, I made a mistake. And it got worse for me because I knew that I had what it take to make the company successful without them. And so I was disappointed in myself for not trusting myself and not doing whatever I needed to do to make it successful without bringing on a partner. And I knew in the middle of this, I said, you know, this person doesn't have the passion I have for this brand or to serve the people I want to serve, the parents that have kids in business. We weren't equally yoked, personality, work ethic. And there's nothing, well, there's tons of things worse, but it's nothing worse than, but it's no fun being yoked or connected to someone that doesn't work as hard as you. And can't see your passion, your vision, but they're there to get whatever they can out of the situation, but they have nothing to give. Oh. And it like broke my heart because I'm like, wait a minute, we are in this together, us. And so I was working really hard and I was the only one working really hard. So I had to grow through that process. I grew up in like 3 months. Like I had to become the CEO that I should have been from the beginning, but you know, I wouldn't be here to tell this amazing story, right? That other people can learn from, but I had to grow and trust myself. I had to you know, kind of develop my grit in a way so that I could stand up for myself and say, you know what, this is the community I'm going to build. These are the people I want to serve. They deserve to have great quality curriculum and trainings and information. And if I don't have help doing that, I'm going to figure out how to do it on my own until I can afford to hire help and support, instead of allowing someone to kind of come in with like sweat equity and just kind of push me around and it not be amazing, because I didn't want to settle for anything that was less than amazing. And I knew that if I continued the partnership, it was going to be less than amazing. And that was a non-negotiable for me.
Yeah. And that is so powerful, because honestly, and I've had business partners in the past, and it really is like a marriage. You know, it honestly is like a marriage where both parties have to be working together. And there's so many dynamics that go on in a partnership. Yeah. And I know now, being out on my own, I would never have a partnership again. I love that I'm the executive decision but I also was like you too. It's easier to hide almost. It's like you have that piece that you are doubting yourself. So you need someone else to fill it, but really you have all the answers.
Right. Absolutely. Right? Yeah. I totally
agree. So my question for you is, so once you reached your tipping point, so your tipping point of like, I know I don't need a partner anymore. Now you have to have a hard conversation. So how quickly did you have that hard conversation? Once you knew that did you linger in it a little bit? Were you fast acting? You've been like, damn it, that's it. We're ripping the Band-Aid off. Let's go.
No. I sat in it. I walked around it. I kicked it around a little bit. Absolutely. I procrastinated. I was scared because, again, I was in this growth process, still trying to figure it out and trust myself. Right. So I waited and I suffered for a little while. And then when it started to show up outside the business, outside the meeting, right, outside the conference room, so to speak, and it started to affect the way I was looking as a CEO, or the movement was moving or not moving, and it started to affect the community. And then I was like, okay, that's it. But it never should have got that far. So now I understand the value of making a fast decision. Listen to your gut, pay attention to the signs, sleep on it. And if you wake up and it's still not right, it's time to have that tough conversation. So I, if there's another regret other than the initial partnership, it is letting it linger when I already knew it wasn't a good fit. I knew early, and I still wanted it to work, but that was the lack of confidence, and that was my fear.
So tell me about, and because I think this is so important, so many people are afraid of hard conversations, because let's be real, they suck. Hard conversations are not fun.
Right.
So how did you handle, going into this call or meeting or however you were doing it, how did you prep yourself to actually, you know, go in it and deliver what you needed to deliver?
So I learned then something that I've practiced since then, and it's been almost 2 years now since that we broke up. And the process for me was like, okay, Tamara, you need to get really clear about why you're doing this in the first place. Your why. Because if you're going to defend the baby, we need to be clear about, you know, how we feel about the baby, just get focused on how important this baby is and that it grow to be amazing. I just had to get back to where I started, remember my why. And then I also had to remind myself that I was going to approach this situation out of love, right? Respect, you know, but I also had to instill some hard boundaries. So that was like the kind of internal work that I had to do, is really like toughen up and be like, look, it is what it is. You have to make a decision. Either you're going to be weak in this and tread softly and leave room for additional conversation, or you're going to leave this meeting thinking, you know, where it's not resolved, or you're going to say what you need to say, defend your child, your baby, your business, your honor, your dream, your movement, and just make a clean break and be able to walk away and say, you know, I love you, but, or maybe I don't love you and I'll see you some other time or whatever it is, however it ends up, I had to be prepared for that. And I completely was, and I was okay with sitting down on a, it was actually a face-to-face conversation and say, look, this is not working. You know, this is, this was my dream. This is the way I imagined it. And this is the way I laid it out. And you don't fit into that. You don't fit into that. I can't accomplish these things with you by my side because we don't see eye to eye. And the way you present what you want to bring to the table, it has no fit. It doesn't fit into my vision. You know, so it was more of, you know, when you do it, like when you hear it, like on the movies, when they break up, it's like, it's me, it's not you. So it's like, I'm not going to tell you like, you're a terrible person and I want you gone. It's more of like, what you have to offer, we just don't need it right now.
Right. It's not working. And how amazing, like on a scale of 1 to 10, did you feel as soon as that conversation was over?
Whew, I would say it took probably a good 60 minutes because like from like 0 to 60 minutes, my stomach was bubbling. I was like butterflies and I was like, oh my God. Cause emotional, when you have a partner, there's an emotional connection too. Right. So here we are as women building each other up. We had, you know, we understood each other's families and we had spent time together. So it's almost like not only did I lose a partner, but I lost a friend, you know, because she didn't take it so well. So, but then after I remembered what I went in, I had to go back to my why. I approached it with love. I did it gently, but I was very, very firm, left no wiggle room, no room for to come back or to negotiate. I did what I said I was going to do. And I was so freaking proud of myself. So I was celebrating. I celebrated me first for making that tough decision. And then I had to go into like, it was like all these things that happened in that day. I will never forget it because then I had to go, like go through the process of trying to forgive myself for failing so poor, for so badly, horribly, like you never should have did it in the first place. Right. So once I got through that, then it was like, you know what? High five, Tamara. We did that. It was an experience. Now, you know, better. And now you can proceed with this huge, amazing, lesson that you learned, and you're going to be better because of it. And it's going to make me a better, you know, CEO, a better coach, a better, you know, parent to my kids and their experiences as we build our family business. So yeah.
And you know, it's so interesting because as I'm sitting here listening to you talk, usually I always ask just one question, but I'm actually going, because I feel like there's almost two different types of people who should hear your wisdom right now. So here's my first question, then we'll talk about the other person that I'm thinking about. So for somebody who is listening right now, who might be at the beginning of your journey where you are lacking the confidence in seeking a partner, and they're in that lack and they're in that space and they're feeling the lack of confidence, what would you say to them to help them realize that they are enough, that they don't need a partner to have success?
Ooh, I would say write out your why. Get super, super clear about what it is that you're trying to do. And then also understand that you're the only person that could bring it to life. Like literally, you're the only person. And then find a like-minded or complementary tribe to be around you, to support you, just you, as you move closer and closer to that dream. You know, because we all need support. We all need community. We all need, we need tribe. You know, we all need people around us to help us. And when we ask questions, and sometimes, well, all the times that, like, you know, our confidence is going to ebb and flow. So we need someone or someones that we can be honest with and say, you know what, today is just not a good day. Right. But it doesn't mean that you have to give half of your anything to anyone else. Right. Or it doesn't mean that someone else needs to come sit next to you and walk you through all the processes. It just means that you need to vent today and you're feeling less than confident. Or it could mean that you need to connect to a community where they're going to help you strengthen those skills that you feel less confident in, you know? So that's what I would say. I would say you can absolutely do it. There's a time and a place for a partnership. But when we're first starting out as entrepreneurs and we're building our businesses, we need to get really clear about what it is that we want, what kind of mission, what kind of impact we're trying to have on the world before we bring somebody else in that definitely, if we're not sure what their intention is, what their value is, or what their real experience is, you know, we just have to be careful.
That's amazing. Yeah, that is so, so true. And so now for the person that might be in the thick of it, in the, you know, they're already in this, they're maybe in a partnership or something and it's not working and they can't find the strength within them. What would you suggest to them to dig deep and find that strength to actually have that hard conversation and really make the decision?
Yeah. So before the conversation, I would definitely say, make sure your paperwork is in order. If there was any paperwork, make sure the money is managed. If there was money intertwined or tangled, you know, make sure you can, you almost like a divorce, you know, like you have to like take care of yourself, go look at what you got in your cookie jar and make sure you can live on your own. Right. So it's like, can we separate without somebody going under, you know? So that's the first thing. And then, because that will give you strength once you realize like, oh, okay, I can do a clean break. Like, oh, it's not all going to fall apart with, if we do separate or if I do pull back or say no, that gives you a little sense of strength as well. And then you need to, what I would suggest rather is then you really, again, I'm going to say, go back to the why, get really clear about what do I want this to look like? And what does it look like now? And I'm positive, right, that when you do that, you'll realize I'm not going to get to where I want to get and make the impact I want to make if I don't get out of this ugly situation. So it's like either clean break or the whole ship goes down. Like that's it. So when you look at it, even if you have to write it out, you know, the pros and cons and do all the things, whatever, you know, everyone learns differently and experiences things differently. You need to just be honest with yourself and save your save your business. Do what you got to do to save your business. That's what I would say. One other thing I want to add is it's important to separate the emotion because once again, partnerships, relationship, they're very emotional. So we think, oh, what happens if he or she doesn't, now they won't have money, or now what about their platform, or how do they feel? Am I going to hurt their feelings? None of that matters in the boardroom, right? Or the CEO room or wherever we're doing our business, right? It just doesn't matter. You have to do what's best for your business. What's best, like, what does it make sense to your bottom line? And what is, and what's going to make you feel free and fully empowered and as being the CEO of this company, you know, what do you need? And that's what you need to think about. Cause if it's not working, it's just not working. And don't get all caught up in those emotions and just make a decision before it gets ugly and angry. Cause we don't want that.
100%. Well, I want to thank you so much for your amazing wisdom today. It was absolutely a pleasure. How do people, if they want to hear more or learn more, where should they go to find out more about you?
Absolutely. So you can find me all over the interwebs at Tamara Zantel and also at Raising a Mogul. Raising a Mogul, we have a free Facebook group on Facebook, a free community on Facebook. and the community is for parents who have kids that are in business that are looking to start and grow businesses. We primarily work specifically with young mogul brands. So if you have a young mogul that wants to build an empire, I'm your girl.
Oh, that is amazing. Well, listen, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you so much for today. And I'm just so extremely grateful that you were here with us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I had fun.
Yeah. We'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely.